You knew this was coming.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I'll give you one guess who just applied to become a bank. GMAC, GM's financing arm. This morning, GMAC said it submitted its request to the Federal Reserve and applied to the Treasury for money from the bailout on the condition that it is allowed to become a bank holding company. Specifically, GMAC is looking for the government to buy shares in it. More on that story as it develops. So far this week, Congress has been focused on the car makers, but today lawmakers will grill the Treasury on what small business is getting out of the bailout. Nothing so far, as we can tell. From our entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
Small business owners like Brett Wingert haven't been having an easy time of it. He's a former aerospace engineer who went into the fancy tea business a few years ago.
What was difficult before is really impossible now. Even just simple business credit card limits being reduced, home lines of credit are also being shrunk.
Wingert's actually selling lots of tea these days at his two shops in Phoenix, and he was hoping to open a third by Christmas, but that plan's dead in its tracks. Michael Kristoff works with folks in much worse shape. His company, Omni Financial, helps business owners pay off their overdue tax liabilities.
Small businesses aren't able to get the financing that they were 6 months ago.
Kristoff says, if anything, the credit crunch has gotten worse for small business since the bailout began. One economist I talked to agreed, saying credit is flowing again at the top of the pyramid, with big banks lending to other big banks, but it hasn't trickled down to the little guy economy yet. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
In this economy, it's all about being safe. Investors don't give a hoot about returns. They are piling into Treasury bonds like we haven't seen in decades. This morning, the return on the 5-year T-note is less than 2%, the lowest since 1954. And stocks, again, are getting shredded. In Tokyo today, the market closed 7% lower. In Hong Kong, a 4% loss. European shares are down about 1% so far. The Dow closed below 8,000 for the first time since the spring of 2003. It lost 5% yesterday, 427 points. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 shed more than 6%. Some love for Iceland today from its neighbors. Finland, Sweden, Norway, and Denmark said they would lend Iceland $2.5 billion to help it recover from economic meltdown. The IMF will pitch in another $2 billion. And members of the EU are drawing up plans for a stimulus package for all of Europe. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The European Commission presents its plan next week. The signs are that it will call on the EU's 27 member states to unleash a concerted fiscal blitz. The Commission wants them to spend at least 1% of their GDP, either on tax cuts or extra public expenditure. That's a total of around $160 billion, the same size as America's first stimulus package earlier this year. Europe's action is belated but necessary, says Philip White of the Centre for European Reform.
Europe has been conning itself for much of the past year that it would be insulated from this economic storm. But I think now it's actually woken up to the fact that it's heading for a very nasty recession.
He believes the EU economy as a whole will shrink by up to 2% next year. Some member states could fare even worse. Ireland is forecast to contract by a hefty 4%. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution by carrying the load of 280 trucks by rail. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Gather.com. If it's happening in the world, it's being discussed on Gather. You can join the conversation at Gather.com.
The financial crisis fallout is starting to mess with our heads. The American Psychological Association says 80% of people list the economy as a major source of stress. Marketplace's Sean Cole gets Freudian on us.
Incidentally, said my therapist the other day, some information for you as a journalist.
She said every single person she'd seen that week was anxious, like they'd internalized all the economic turmoil and needed to talk about it. And then she said another therapist, Arnes Berger, had mentioned the same thing. So I got in touch with her.
You know, I wouldn't say that every single person I see has been talking about it, but a higher percentage than usual, and yes, across the board.
Meaning all ages, teens to elders.
Usually world events don't get raised, or they just get mentioned, acknowledged, but they're not what people want to talk about in their therapy sessions. The only time that I can remember in the many years that I've practiced that is anything like this was after 9/11.
I checked this out with yet another therapist.
Oh, it's very similar.
Sharon Gordetsky. She says crises like these can cause a kind of societal anxiety disorder.
I think that that's what we saw after 9/11. And then some people experience a slight increase in anxiety, and other people, as we say, spiked.
It depends on where your head's at, really. Often the economy might just be exacerbating other problems. For instance, this one guy was having some anger management issues. So he went in to see David Hollis.
David Hollis, I'm the clinical director at Jewish Family Service.
In Worcester, Mass, and they're talking things over.
And he reported to me that he was feeling more irritability through September.
Turned out the guy had been checking his retirement balance every day. Hollis's advice?
He could choose to not only stop tracking his balance sheet on a daily basis, but he could also choose to not open his monthly 401k statement, for example.
So the guy stopped, and it helped. And that might sound like denial, but Arnes Berger says denial can be healthy.
If we didn't have a little bit of denial, we wouldn't go outside, we wouldn't cross the street, we wouldn't get on planes.
And we certainly wouldn't keep our money in this market, or in a bank. Or even in the mattress, where it would be ruined by the cascade of our anxious tears. In Boston, I'm Sean Cole for Marketplace.
We don't have any therapists online, but we do have a place where you can vent. Check it out at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.